Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Test.
All right. Test.
No, just the people I work with are just awful human beings, and I had to get out of there. So this is actually, it's been 5 years I've been looking. It's just, it's hard to break out in what I want to do for in the burbs. So yeah. So hopefully I can keep doing this until they discover that I do a gaming podcast and they're like, you got to stop that.
And it's over.
And it's over. It's all over, guys. I'm hoping that they catch me in about episode 199, just so we don't hit 200, just so people get really mad at us for not hitting 200.
Why 99? Just do 198. Like,
No. I want the 199. That rubs it in a little bit more.
You think?
Yeah.
I think the falling specifically short is like not, I don't think this is good. Like, cause then it'll always be like, oh, you know, it's always like, you know, you could always come back and do that 200th episode. Oh, like there could be like the comeback to like do the capstone. But if we're two or three episodes short, that's never gonna happen.
It's never gonna happen.
See,
I do appreciate it, but I think it rubs salt in the wounds of the listeners more.
I think, I don't know.
I like our listeners, but I like rubbing salt in people's wounds.
Cause if you stopped at episode 97, you never got to episode 100,
mm-hmm.
like, and there's no way, because if everyone quit because of various reasons, like, even if you did the comeback special, you'd only be in episode 98, so it wouldn't even, you know, wouldn't even be the capstone.
I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying. I like that.
I was looking at my notes. I only have one note, and it's pretty funny.
What is it? Dicks?
It's like things to talk about. The CEO of Solar City flees the country. Have you heard of
Solar City? No. I'm ready.
Solar City was it's a game company, and I guess they were doing pretty popular stuff. And the CEO just fled. He was like, "Fuck it, I'm done." I'm like, wow, board games, man. Cutthroat industry.
What is it? Solar City?
Yeah, I'll see if I can bring it up. Yeah. Hey guys, everybody, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe. Okay. And with me is
Look,
always.
I just want to get a little experimental, okay?
Yeah. And with me as always is my co-host Steve.
This is not the time where I Yoko Ono it and just get weird.
Get weird with it. We took a week off for the Easter holidays, and it felt pretty good. It felt pretty good, Steve. I'm not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have that break. I was a little burnt out because of Adepticon, and I'm still a little gaming burnt out. I'm not as good as I could be.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and not get fucking blown out next year and actually get in for Adepticon.
I mean, Adepticon is great.
I can't believe how much shit sold out. I was gonna go, and it was like,
you gotta be right away. You gotta do it right
apparently
away.
Apparently, I need to be ready fucking immediately.
Yeah,
because it was like I didn't wait that long. It was like maybe a week, and it was just like, oh, everything I wanted to do is fucking gone.
Yeah,
so I don't remember that.
I can't find the article that I was looking at.
Curses.
Because I'm dumb and I didn't actually link it.
Scander Fanny sent us that weird game.
Morkork? Morkork?
Yeah, Morkork Bagork. Morkborg.
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 I like, hey, stop making fun of the Swedish. We're going to name our game Morkborg.
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 Well, it's funny because like you're always making fun of, like whenever you make fun of Swedish, you'll be like, their words are all like Bork, Bork, Mork, Bork, 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 Bork. And they release a thing called Morkborg.
Yeah.
Morkborg. Morkborg. It's fun to say.
Okay, I found the article. Board game Kickstarter shut down after CEO allegedly flees country and bankrupts company.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What is it called? Solar Wars?
Solar City.
Solar City.
Sci-fi board game puts players in charge of designing a futuristic city in 2035. Why is it futuristic in 2035? That's literally 16 years away. That's not that far in the future, guys. You know what's going to happen in 16 years? We're just all going to die. That's what's going to happen. We're all gonna die. It raised $95,000, and then in June last year, after a delay that saw the company very close to bankruptcy, the company announced that it's completely gone under, allegedly due to the president of the company fleeing the country.
Nice. He's from Poland.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's like, I go back to Poland, man.
No, no, no. He fled Poland.
Oh, he fled
this is
Poland.
A, this is a Polish design game.
Well, I mean, that's not actually a really... I like the idea, but I think most people just want to flee Poland. There's not much in the country. It's very flat, very nationalistic, very, you know, very pro-white. They got The Witcher, which is a thing. They're really into...
So I'll say, until you said The Witcher, you were really describing America. Very flat, nothing there, nationalistic.
No. America's got some really cool coasts. The coasts of America.
But that's not the vast majority of America. The vast majority of America is empty nothingness and or corn.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, we got
I read a great... Oh, fuck. It was from a travel blogger from somewhere not here. And I read their review of Traveling America. And they were like, it's like a dystopian nightmare. It's a miracle that everyone in this country doesn't go mad going anywhere. they're like, it's like... this is he's like, it's unbelievable. I wanted to go to the grocery store from my apartment... or from where I was staying, I wanted to go to a grocery store. I had to get a car. He's like, I couldn't walk. He said it was too far. And he's like, the fact that anyone lives in this country is madness. I mean, thought it was fantastic. I was like, this is the best fucking review of America I've ever read in my life.
We just got a lot of space. That's why everything's far away.
Yeah, it's garbage. Our country sucks.
No, not just because everything's far away. What, do you want a fucking grocery store on your ass? You want to live with 18 other people inside your tiny apartment inside Madrid?
I live with 18 other people inside my tiny apartment in Madrid.
You do not. You have two other people in your apartment in Madrid.
Well, not in the actual apartment, but
yeah,
I mean,
you live
I live in an apartment complex.
Yeah, everyone's asses to elbows in Europe. That's why they all smell. Europeans and smell.
I don't think he was from Europe, but I don't remember.
And all the Canadians live really close together, too.
Well, that's only because only a very small fraction of Canada is hospitable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not gonna go live in a tea-drinking country in bong
time. So go
live
in Australia. They've got a whole bunch of empty space.
No, Australia is deadly.
But they've got a whole bunch of empty space.
Yeah, but they also live far away from everything, too.
Actually, no, I think the civilization pockets in Australia also don't really require vehicles.
No, they do.
I don't fucking know. I know dick and all about Australia other than crocodile DD is from there, and like 99% of the poisonous everything is from there.
Yeah.
And, of course, Paul Hogan.
Yeah. I mean, America, we need to save cars. That's why we invented the great things like audiobooks and podcasts. They all come from America because we need something to fucking listen to when we're driving.
Driving sucks.
Yeah.
Wish we had trains. I don't think Murica invented the idea of a podcast. Some dude sitting alone and talking definitely sounds like something that was invented by the British.
I'm going to say that Americans invented the podcast. I'm just going to... Joe says it.
Yeah?
Joe says it, yeah. Stamp of Joe.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's Britain. I don't know. I have no idea what the first podcast was, but I'm going to say it was British because someone sitting in a middle-aged white dude talking alone to himself to a questionable amount of people listening definitely seems like something that a British person would do.
I typed the Durst podcast.
The Durst. Is that a Fred Durst podcast where they only talk about Fred Durst, or is it Fred Durst's podcast where he only talks about Fred Durst?
Okay, hold on. I'm looking it up right now. This is terrible because they don't really
Are you in the history of podcasting?
Yeah. In July 2009, the company Volo Media is awarded the podcast patent. But that's 2009. People have been podcasting before then. Adam Curry and Dave Weiner are credited.
Adam Curry sounds like a British fucking name.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Roll the dice. Now I'm excited. Now I'm invested.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say whether or not these guys are, it doesn't say if they're British or not.
No!
Yeah. Sorry. Apparently, the first podcast also had the first use of the N-word in a podcast as well.
And that makes sense.
I don't know. No, I'm just saying that more than
likely. Hey, the Ricky Gervais show was an early podcast.
Ricky Gervais show was an early podcast.
And it's he's British.
Terrible.
Well, yeah, he's Ricky Gervais. He's terrible.
He's a terrible human being.
Yeah, and he's not funny.
No.
I actually don't know about human being wise, but I'm sure he saw. I'm sure if his humanity is anything close to his comedy, it's garbage.
I like the Office. His Office series, it was pretty good.
Yeah, but I'm gonna blame it for the United States Office. So, no.
How do you not like the United States Office?
I liked the first two seasons or three.
You're just so contrarian.
It was
like,
so bad.
It's popular. I can't like it.
That's not accurate. I love Seinfeld, and it's the most popular sitcom ever made.
Seinfeld is no longer the most popular sitcom ever made. It has gone down, sir. Mm. I love Seinfeld, but it is not the most popular sitcom ever made.
I mean, I don't think any sitcom's ever going to match the finale of Seinfeld. I don't think there has been. I don't think anything's been watched as much as the finale of Seinfeld.
Yeah, the finale of MASH. It beats all of it.
Was MASH a sitcom?
Yeah.
Consider it a sitcom? I thought it was more of a dramedy or drama.
Yeah, they don't have that back in the day. It was just drama or comedy. Well, it was a comedy.
I don't know.
It had a laugh track, Steve.
I never cared for MASH.
Of course not.
I didn't like MASH. Because
it was popular.
I didn't like MASH or Taxi. Fucking Seinfeld was popular as shit, and I like Seinfeld. I like Frasier. Frasier was super popular.
Frasier was popular.
Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
And then he became a crazy person.
Frasier or Kelsey Grammer?
Kelsey Grammer.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure Frasier also
became. Did Kelsey Grammer lose his mind?
Yeah, he became. He flirted with that like
crazy right wing dude.
Yeah, he flirted with that for a while. Like,
because it's claimed a lot of my childhood actors.
He almost went full James Woods.
He almost went full.
Wow. He like was at the brink of full James Woods and then pulled himself back.
I see.
Yeah,
he was close to going. I still say James Woods was driven mad by Videodrome. I think that's what happened. Videodrome actually broke James Woods. That's what happened.
I don't know. This is tangentially related. Not even tangential. This is not related at all. But I was reading a Black Library book, and it was with the Adeptus Mechanicus. And I kept on imagining the Adeptus Mechanicus as Pat working on robots.
Nice.
Like, I see, like, Pat doing the stuff that predates the Adeptus Mechanicus, like talking nicely to the robot and treating it nicely and like anointing it with the oils and saying his little prayers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's Pat, right? I'm not imagining that.
I agree.
Yeah. And then in the future, like, he's the one who like has sex with the toaster because he thinks it's sexy.
But yeah, no, I really liked like the first few seasons of The Office, but then it got really shitty. That's all I'm saying. And it's not to be contrarian. I like tons of popular things. I really like Game of Thrones. That's super fucking
popular.
Which
is actually really funny because one of the recent hits I've got on when someone's name checked us on a website, I think it was on Reddit. Someone was asking, is X-Wing dying? They were talking about X-Wing dying on this podcast, Game Classy Podcast.
No way!
And the guy was like, yeah, I really like the podcast. And then they called us like the epitome of like white middle class gamers. Like, we hate everything that you love and love everything that you hate.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, yes, that's Steve. He absolutely loves everything that you hate and hates everything that you love. You love this game. I hate it.
It's just happenstance.
I don't know if it's happenstance, Steve. I think there's something genetically ingrained inside of you to just hate something if it's popular.
But I make that decision before it becomes or before. I mean, I love the Dark Souls trilogy. Super popular.
It's true.
I like a lot of popular things.
Dark Souls is kind of like the metal of video games. And by that, I mean that it's like.
No, it's super mainstream now. Maybe when it was just the first one.
Yeah.
When it was just the first one, I'll give it to you. But at this point, like, it's big enough to become it's literally a fucking genre. Soulsborne games, like, because it's of Bloodborne.
Okay.
But like, yeah, like it's huge now. It's a very mainstream thing to be.
Yeah,
but
it's its own genre.
But I like it.
Yeah,
like, you know, and that's a super popular thing. It's it. It's just I have a very weird specific taste, and if you don't hit my everything needs to resonate for me. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's because I need like when it comes to things I interact with, I have to have everything in all the pistons must be firing.
Yeah,
I don't accept bum legs.
I can enjoy literally anything. However, for it to have legs, as you say, it has to push my buttons. But I was out playing Legion the other day. I don't care. I mean, I didn't have to. Here's why I played Legion the other day.
Because you only play Star Wars games.
Because I literally had to do nothing for the game. I just had to show up. Like, the army was provided for me, the dice, everything was provided for me. I'm like, I will play this game if I do not have to do a single thing for it.
I mean, yeah, but you're not really playing the game then.
Like, oh, no, played and I won. Beat his ass.
That's not playing a miniatures game. Playing a miniatures game is like deciding to play a miniatures game, spending like a year and a half getting your shit ready to play the miniatures game, then being like, fuck, my shit's all fucked. I got to do more. Then spending another year to finish it. And then after 2.5 years, you get your army ready. You play your first game and you're like, fuck, my army sucks. And then you start a new army and you take another 2.5 years before you get to play your game with that army.
I think that's just Warhammer.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know other miniatures games where it's that bad.
I don't know. Kings of War was pretty bad. Kings of War was rough. I painted a giant Kings of War army, and I was like, holy fuck, this army's terrible.
Yeah, well,
that
I
happened.
Mean, But the nice thing about Kings of War is you didn't have to paint it nicely.
That's true. Yeah. I dipped it. Actually, it looked pretty. I was kind of surprised. I'd never actually done legit dip before. That was the first army I dipped. I used the actual quick shade, the army painter shit, and like it looked really nice. I was like, no shit. And I was like, if I ever do an army that size again, that's also undead or something similar, I would dip it again in a heartbeat. I think the problem with dip is that there's guys who want to dip everything, and I just don't think it works out. I think it works for a lot of things, but like it definitely wouldn't work for like elves or like a human army.
For my recent, use of dip, I can tell you that it's still way, way too thick.
Yeah, you got to thin it down.
Like, why would Army Painter even release something like that that's that thick? It's literally floor. It's literally Minwax still.
No, the one I used wasn't. I used, I can't remember which tone I used, but I dunked the whole fucking thing in there and just shook it off. It wasn't that bad.
It's still way too thick.
Maybe.
It's like they could come up with a way of doing that, that wasn't using the, like, whatever the base of that paint that makes it so, like, with all the smell and everything like that, to make it actually, like...
That was the thing that sucked.
Like, the urethane smell of it.
That was the worst part about dipping, was the fucking smell. The, like, smell was way worse than anything else. I was fine with the finish and all that stuff, and the work was okay. It was easy to do, but holy fuck, it smelled so bad.
What someone needs to do is they need to come up with just a thinned down paint that you could literally, that works like dip, that they sell in the big container like that, you could dip your models in. So like an ink or a wash or something like that, but like in a big tub that you could just go bloonk and flick it. Like that I would appreciate. But the what they currently have for Army Painter, I'm not a huge fan of. I think it's way too thick and way too shiny. I still have that. That's my problem. A couple people said like, well, you need to try this type of...
I hit him with the fucking with the
dull coat,
the tester's dull coat, and it killed it for me.
No, it did not. I've seen your models. It did not.
Well, they're gone.
I saw them back in the day.
They were plenty fine. You have a weird thing where you think models are glossy when they aren't, because you have your insane, like, it's got it has to be so matte, it has to destroy light.
Exactly.
It has to be black holes.
100%. You know, dull coat is still too shiny.
My favorite finish is actually satin, but I find it very difficult to get a really good satin finish, so I usually just go with the dull coat. When I see someone who's a good satin finish, it's always like something they brushed on, and I'm always just like, yeah, I don't want to do that for a whole army.
I've been using some of the dull coat, some of the matte varnish with an airbrush, matte finish with an airbrush, and that seems to work a little bit better.
I've been doing that too. I do the matte, my own mix with airbrush or hand painting. No. So that's
all bullshit. Never gets it. The only thing that works is Purity Seal. Games Workshop Purity Seal was the only
Purity Seal.
It's the only thing that works. I have one bottle of it left, and I'll be so sad when it's gone.
It's all over. You're done.
It's
you're done. You're out of the hobby.
It's literally I might have to. I might have to just be like, well, guys, this is it.
It's your last army.
I'm done.
The last model. It's over. You're out of the hobby.
Yeah, I mean that's speaking of Games Workshop, they're just pumping out these fucking box sets like nobody's business.
The Loony Box.
The Loon Gets, right? What's it called?
Loon Moon?
The Loon...
I don't know. There's a lot of squigs.
The Claire de Lune.
There's a lot of squigs.
Yeah.
It's a cool box.
So, yeah, they've gone past Wrath and Rapture. They blew past Wrath and Rapture. They blew past Carrion Empire. And now it's Loon Curse. That's what it is. Loon Curse.
Yes.
Where they got the squigs and the Sylvaneth Tree Men.
Yes.
Because obviously the Tree Men are going to get the new updated book. Because they've already previewed.
They showed the spells. They look pretty cool. Yeah. They've got like a big caterpillar.
They're like
worm
really.
Thing.
They're leaning into bugs now.
No, they have been. That's because that's the Drycha. All of the sprites. Because that was the new. They didn't go super deep into it, but all of the tree men have those little bug things. Because spites, whatever the fuck they call them.
Sprites.
You could pay points for them. Drycha has the ones that come out of her shoulders. Or
I don't like bugs. I'm not a big bugs fan.
Well, then I think you're going to be disappointed with the direction of the Wood Elves. I'm sorry, not the Wood Elves. What are they called now? The Sylvaneth?
Yeah, well, that's just...
The Sylvaneth.
The Sylvaneth are just tree people. Are just trees. Because when I think of high fantasy, I want to play trees. No, you want to play fucking tree man. Not just trees. A bunch of fucking
They don't know where the Ant Wives are.
Yeah, I know where they are. My pants.
They die? No, we lost them.
No, Ant Wives were hobbits.
No,
that's my theory.
They don't know where the Ant Wives are. The Ant Wives are somewhere.
No, the Ant Wives went off and became hobbits.
That doesn't make any sense.
It makes sense to me.
No.
In my head canon. Actually, did you ever play the sequel to Shadows of Mordor?
No.
the sequel, Shadows of Mordor, there's actually an ant wife.
Oh, you find one?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's kind of dumb. I'm like, it's just a female ant, a tree.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
I mean, why? What does it have to look exactly like an actual ant? It could be...
It should look like an ant.
It doesn't have to.
It should.
It's fucking fantasy. It could look like a cheeseburger. It would be like, this is an ant wife. And it would be like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's dumb. It has to look like a tree. Those are the rules.
So for having an ant wife, you have to have a tree with boobs.
No. It should look... The ant wives should look like trees, like just like the regular ants. The only difference should be they maybe shouldn't have beards.
Boobs?
They
have
but
boobs.
Like, it should look like tree beard minus the beard. That should be an ant wife.
Well, there was trees that didn't have beards, and...
There you go. Those should be what the ant wives look like. These are fucking trees.
They got some kind of tree boob.
Unless the Ents grow up drinking milk from tree teats, then yes, they should have tree boobs. Or what, you know, a uniboob, one giant pendulous tree breast.
Well, how would it be pendulous if it's made of wood?
Because it's fleshy.
Well, it's
a gross fleshy boob sticking out of a tree.
From what I've read about Ents is that Ents aren't actually wood; they just look like trees. Okay. So they're actually like flesh that just tends to look like trees.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Well, I know they're a thing. They're not. I know they're not actually trees, but like they're flammable and shit.
Yeah. Well, I'm flammable. You're flammable.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
We're combustible, not flammable.
Well, I mean, our hair is flammable.
For the most part, kinda.
Yeah. We're combustible, not flammable. Yeah. So they're doing the loon curse where you're getting some trees. You're getting some. Gits and gobos and
it's all squigs.
All squigs.
It looks like it's all squigs, but there's a hero squig who looks fucking dope.
Yeah, it's
and there's
a
cool new hero.
Yeah,
Sylvanath.
Yeah,
with like a big caterpillar thing.
Yeah, she's got. I don't like the bugs.
There's a lot
of creepy bugs.
Well, you're gonna get creeped out. You're gonna get creeped out.
Yeah, I'm not. What is it? When you're afraid of insects? Is there like a?
Is just a general insect fear? I would be insectophobia, right?
Wouldn't it be like a ataphobia?
I don't know.
Like, isn't etymology the study of bugs?
Yeah, so I don't know.
Be like etophobia would be like the fear of insects.
But see, that's the thing too. Like, because arachnophobia is specifically classified. But if you're also afraid of spiders, but then other things, do you have arachnophobia and this? Also, the question is if it's actually a phobia, because that's the thing too. People say that they're blank phobic all the time.
I don't have a phobia. Like, I just don't
phobia
like
phobia is like you like see it and run. Like a phobia is irrational. Like you're catatonic or something like that. You just don't like bugs.
I don't like bugs
because you're a coward.
Yeah, it's okay.
I love bugs.
You know what? My ancestors somehow made it 10,000 years of human evolution to lead up to me. And you know what they did? You know how they made it that far?
Ate bugs.
They avoided bugs.
No, they ate them. They definitely ate the shit out of a lot of bugs.
I don't think the
grubs and all sorts of termites and things.
Maybe grubs and termites for like in the early part. But I'm saying like I'm talking later on, like once we moved to like the cities and stuff like that. My ancestors were probably the very people who were like the first people to go like, God, living outdoors is bullshit. Let's create something where we don't have to be here. Let's be someplace where we could designate a delineation between outside and like out in the open and in something.
I mean, sure.
Like, and they're like, well, we got these caves, and they're like, yeah, but it's got a big opening in the front. Like, can we close the opening? Maybe put like, I tell you, I invented it. It's called a door. It opens and closes, so that way you can seal off the cave.
See, if we're behind the door, we're inside.
Yeah.
Outside the door, we're outside.
Now, the important thing is we can't let the cave bear in through the door, people. The door is here to keep the cave
and
bear
out.
As
everyone knows, the bears are attracted by the women's periods.
Yes.
So they have to stay outside.
Yes. Well, was I sick? I was telling my wife the other day, I was just like, God damn it. All of our ancestors were right when we had separate lodges for the men and the women. God damn it. Why can't just raise the children in the women's lodge? All the men will just chill out together. We'll have a nice long house where we'll sit around and smoke tobacco and
a long house.
Talk about the hunt. My wife is like, you hate hunting. I go, I know, but I could tell a yarn.
Well, see, you could have just been a baker.
I could have. I could have been the guy that, like, I will trade you my bread for this saber-toothed tiger, because I'm just imagining it in a Flintstones kind of way.
A giant rib that knocks your car over.
Yeah, exactly. Yabba-dabba-doo and all that. Yeah, so gaming-wise, also, Magic the Gathering released the new set today.
War of the Spark comes out tomorrow.
When you kept on posting things about War of the Spark, I thought it was about Transformers.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people were like Transformers, because it's a Transformers card game. And it would have been the only thing that could have made it more perfect is if they released a Transformers booster set that had something about the AllSpark in it.
Well, exactly. I was like, and when I found out it was about Magic, I was like, what? What the?
Yeah, that's the thing that turns a magic user into a planeswalker is called the spark.
Ah.
And that's like when your spark ignites, you become a planeswalker. Because all of the planeswalkers in magic lore were just like goons. Because you play as a planeswalker in like, that was always the lore of magic is like the players were planeswalkers. And like the thing that makes you different from the creatures that you're summoning is that you have the ability to go between worlds. And like your power level is a step above anyone who exists in any of the magic worlds. So
every time I read about Magic's lore, I'm just like, this could be fascinating. And then I get into it, I'm like, this is stupid.
Dude, it's immense. I cannot believe how big and massive and sprawling the lore is and how many people are super into it.
Like, it just seems dumb to me. It doesn't seem like that interesting. There's no hook to it for me.
Well, the hook is, I think you have to play to be hooked. Because the whole, I think the participation is part of the hook.
I don't, it's like, there's no story element that hooks you in. Like, they'd be like, all right, you know, we're in a world.
I read the original three Magic novels, and they didn't have anything to do with that. They were just, like, fucking stories. They're so far apart from the way Magic lore is now. It was, like, just a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, like there's got to be, like, a hook. Like in Game of Thrones, it's like, you know, you're in a world where winter comes every 10 years, and, you know, winter is coming and all that.
Yeah, well, the worlds are interesting, but the thing is, like, so much of the lore is buried in the cards too. Like, you need to be invested in both the novels and the cards,
I guess.
If you're not, because I guess some of the cards are probably cooler if they do a climactic sequence. Like one of the planeswalkers I know like dies in War of the Spark, and like it's like an epic like thing. And like there's the cards have that story, and like you can follow it like with those cards, and it has like each step of the way of like they're like leading up to this battle, and like they get this sword, and then like there's a whole bunch of shit that happens, and like the cards perfectly reflect the story. It's probably cooler that way.
You know what I also love about that? Like, there's this epic card sequence that tells about all this, but about 75 to 80%.
Oh, only one of them's playable.
75 to 80% of the players are Magic. Yeah. Are like,
they'll never see it.
Are like,
this card sucks.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's got all this like fantastic lore on it, but yeah, if the card is unplayable, no one gives a shit.
Garbage.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really funny. But yeah, this set is called War of the Spark because it's like they're all fighting against Nicol Bolas,
I think I used to listen to them in college.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. They're all fighting against Nicol Bolas, and there's an absolute shit metric fuck ton of planeswalkers. And like planeswalkers were only ever printed at mythic rarity. Now there's planeswalkers all over the fucking place. There's a planeswalker in every pack.
Oh wow.
So like everyone is fucking like, oh shit,
I'm a planeswalker.
Yeah, well, I mean they made a bunch of them. What they did, and the way they did it so it didn't break the power level of the game, which I thought was pretty smart, is they printed I don't think they had printed planeswalkers with this kind of stuff before, but for a fact, there's a shit ton of this one where they have static abilities rather, because the gimmick for planeswalkers is they're like, they're supposed to be at like the core level, they're like an ally. There's someone you summon to help you fight your opponent. So they have a loyalty counter, and the loyalty counter is basically their life, their hit points. And then they have abilities that plus, where you add loyalty counters, or minus, where you remove loyalty counters. When their loyalty's dropped to zero, they're discarded. It's as if you brought another player with you to the game. You summon them. And what they did for a lot of these planeswalkers is they have a static loyalty. They may or may not have abilities that give them plus. Like, most of them have like 5 loyalty, and they have like a -3. So like he doesn't have any. You can only minus him until he's gone. But a lot of them have a passive where like while he's in play, it does something, which is new. That's not a normal thing the planeswalkers used to have. So now like, so basically they balance them really quickly by making them essentially like enchantments. They're just enchantments you can attack, because creatures can attack planeswalkers because they're like another player. So like it's pretty cool. Like they made, I think that was a smart design choice, and it had a lot of people really excited. And like, it's been a long time since like people have been really fired up for a Magic set, but this one's got the boners are engorged.
It's just like I got my mythic rares.
Oh, dude, everyone is turgid.
Just from my own like somewhat research, which I don't really do that much research. And by research, I mean I click on a website because I'm bored at work and I just go, ha! Is that the sets have been selling out like crazy. I mean, even more so than regular Magic.
This set's insane.
Yeah, it's really hard to get a hold of. And like all of like the game stores around us are all like, we're sold out. We don't have any more. But whatever. I mean, good for them. Good for them, Magic people.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
But
they definitely shitted up the bed with the Japanese War of the Spark, which was pretty fucking annoying. Orders were placed for Japanese War of the Spark months before, as per usual. No one gave a shit because like foreign magic has been, because foreign magic used to be like a big trend. Like people really liked collecting foreign magic, and it's kind of been on the downswing. You know, just whatever. And then like the last few sets, they've not sold foreign in North America at all. And they offered a very small amount of Japanese, and people were just kind of like, eh, whatever. Like, I'll take a few, you know, here and there, whatever. Then, a week before the product releases, they unveiled that the Planeswalkers, like, half the Planeswalkers have alternate art that are only in the Japanese set. And they're done by a bunch of, like, famous fucking artists. One of them is a dude who does a bunch of, like, one of them, he drew a Nicol Bolas. He does kaiju art. Like, he's done a fuck ton of kaiju art. Like, he's on professional posters for kaiju movies and Godzilla and shit. He drew Nicol Bolas. The artist from... You know the Final Fantasy artist who did all the art for Final Fantasy VI and, like...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but...
He did two cards.
Oh, wow.
Two of the most in-demand planeswalkers are his art. Just like...
That kind of, like, weird gothic-looking...
Yes.
Yeah, the whites with the...
Yep,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. There's a shit ton. And, like, a bunch of the artists are, like, in-demand, like, artists, like popular. And it's just, like... You fucking dicks. Like, you assholes. And it was gone. Like, it's not available because it's a fucking week before the product came out. So, like, all of the Magic players started immediately blowing up the stores. Stores started blowing me up. And it's just like, I don't fucking have any. Like, I can't. That is just like a dick move. Like, there's really no other way to describe it other than being a dick move. It's like you released this information long after everyone had placed their orders and couldn't get any more, and then they announced like, and we've made on the article, they also like, and we've made this available to North America distribution. So like, not only did they do something incredibly dickish, but they immediately tried to shuffle blame away from themselves on the article they released, it, which was pretty fucking scummy.
You know what? Kudos to them.
Yeah. Like if their goal was to just piss everyone off, mission fucking accomplished.
Well, there you go. I mean, I don't know what to say. When you said that, I kind of tuned out a lot of the rest of that. I was just thinking about the old Final Fantasy III art they used to get in the Nintendo Power. I'm like,
hell yeah.
That's pretty cool shit. I like that. Yeah, the guy with the machine gun. Not the guy with the machine gun.
That's Barrett from Final Fantasy VII.
That's the guy from VII. It was there were so many cool guys in that. In Final Fantasy III or whatever that was, VI?
Yeah, VI.
Yeah. Final Fantasy VI had some of the best characters. I loved that game. Loved it with a passion. I wonder if I could go back and play that. Probably can.
Yeah, sure.
Just do
an emulator so you can fast forward and grind.
Grind. What's that called?
Or find a hacked one.
What's the Call to Adventure box over there?
It's a game called Call to Adventure.
What is it?
You ever played Splendor?
I don't remember.
Okay, so it's not a deck building game, but it lays out similar to one. There's a thing about it, but basically you make a D&D character and you adventure. It's pretty fucking both.
It's a call to adventure.
It is. It's pretty fucking cool. You start with you get dealt three cards. You have your origin, your drive, and then your destiny, and you get two of each of the cards. You pick them, and they give you your like starting stats, your strength, dexterity, etc. And then you quest through the different acts of your character story, and like you build your character strengths, and you can choose to be like a hero or an anti-hero or even a pure villain. It's really fun. It's easy to play. And one of the coolest things about it is, instead of rolling dice, you have runes. So you cast runes instead of rolling dice, which is really, really cool.
You cast the runes.
Yes. You must cast the runes. Yeah. It's really cool.
What do the bones say? The bones tell me nothing.
It's it's $40. I highly recommend it. It's called Call to Adventure.
Did you see that Ron Howard's working on the Willow sequel?
Really?
Yeah. It was like a.
You really are amazing.
No, you are amazing. No, you are. Oh, damn it! What? It's not you are. I think it's just you are amazing.
I thought he was saying you really are amazing. Are you sure? I thought it was you really are amazing.
You are. I think it's just you are amazing.
Because I thought he was. I thought he was like reinforcing his boast.
I know. Well, that's. I mean, we're doing our weird.
I hate trolls.
Our weird Warwick Davis accent.
Trolls.
Have to be Lucky Charms. Yeah, we go this way. It's a daikini.
You take my pot of gold. It's a daikini, baby. I got to the baby.
I wish that movie was better than it was.
That sequel's not going to be good. The music was fantastic.
Well, James Horner's dead, so you can't really do anything.
Yeah, that movie soundtrack's really good. There's a lot of parts of that movie that are really good, but overall, eh.
Well, yeah.
I really liked it when I was a kid.
It's got some fantastic sequences in it.
It does.
Yeah. But the did you see Endgame yet?
I did not. I'm probably going to try and see it this weekend. I was going to see it last weekend, but the fucking snow showed up, and I was just like, I'm going
to
stay home.
For those who are unaware, as we like to complain on this podcast, we had literally a snowstorm after like...
It was like a sleet storm. It was even worse. Yeah.
It was like after 2 weeks of 60 to 70 degree weather, we had a snowstorm for one day. And then we've had a torrential downpour for the last 4 days. All of our rivers are essentially over flooding, going over bridges. It's a nightmare out here. It's quite a rolling
on a river. Yeah.
It's an ecological disaster out here. We're just trying to make it day by day. It looks like a hurricane recovery zone. Luckily, we're supposed to have nice weather for the next 3 days, and then it's going to start raining.
We'll see about that.
I have a canopy on my deck in my backyard, and the canopy actually collapsed because of the snow.
Nice.
I know. Stupid me thinking, like, oh, I'm just going to put it up over Easter break. You know, it's going to be nice out. It was beautiful, 60-degree weather. Put up the canopy. Snow crashes the entire thing. It's like, fuck this. Fuck everything.
And Peter Mayhew died.
Peter Mayhew did die. He was not looking good when I saw him at Star Wars Celebration. he was not a healthy man. So, I mean, I don't know much more to say. He was a guy in a suit from a movie I liked.
He was 74.
He was 74.
I guess that's it.
He's kind of a nice guy.
That's really all you got.
He had kind of a nice online presence. I mean, I saw David Prowse looking at porn before.
Nice.
We were back in
the
day.
Did you ask him what kind of porn he liked? I bet he likes Ebony.
That would be no, it's not irony, but it's close. It's close to irony. No, I was back in the day, for those who were too young to remember, Wizard World, there used to be like three Wizard World comic book conventions. There was not a lot of comic book conventions in the United States. There was like, the big ones were Wizard World in Chicago, they'd do San Diego Comic-Con, and there was a couple others, like the Emerald City Con it was a little bit later, but it was like kind of a big one. But in Wizard World, it was huge. It was massive. There would be lines everywhere. But they used to have this big red fucking porno cage. That it was like, this is...
Hell yeah.
Pre-internet getting big, you'd get a... So, I mean, this was around like 05, 06, let's say, right? So the internet was around, but it wasn't as big as it was. And a lot of people still were into the you know, owning pornography. You get your DVD set or your VHS of whatever you wanted at the time. It was DVD at the time. But they had the big red porno. Like, it was like a beacon in the middle of the convention. And, you know, we'd walk around. We'd look inside, see what they had there, you know, whatever. And sure enough, we saw David Prowse walking through the porno cage. And we're like, ah, that's David Prowse. He played Darth Vader. Good for him. He likes his porno.
Hey, I mean, you're David Prowse. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. That was the heyday back when you'd have to buy your bootleg DVDs.
I still miss the bootleg DVD guy. I loved the bootleg DVD guy.
Like, what movies you got? What movies you got? He's like, I got Revenge of the Sith right here.
Hey, you know what? The last Wizard World I went to was the last one that I found a bootleg guy, and I bought a bunch of bootlegs. But one of the ones I bought, which was very nice, was the Book of Mormon Steadicam. It was a dude recording the Book of Mormon with the Steadicam, and I have to say, the guy was pretty fucking good. Like, he didn't have the best angle and the best seats, but he didn't know what he got in front of him. He managed to stay on target the whole time, and when there was the intermission, he really got his camera down like a professional. I gotta say, this wasn't this dude's first rodeo.
Those bootleg guys are still there. Like the bootleg guys who sell like musicals or like old TV shows, like a nice prepackaged like cartoon set. Those guys are still there.
They got to be harder to find because I couldn't find them last time.
They're a little harder to find. You're not going to see them.
They're probably still at Wizard World because I went to C2E2.
Yeah, they're not at C2E2. They'll be at Wizard World. They're there.
Garbage.
But I'm talking like the guys who'd sell like the camera shots of American Pie 3, American Wedding.
Oh, yes.
You know?
The dudes who are like they're literally like just shitty VHS recordings of like a film, like a theater film where you hear people coughing and like some dude farting. Nice.
No. Back in the day, what it was they would set up a camera. These would be theater employees would set up a camera and record.
Oh, right. So you're saying like a little bit higher tier than someone sitting in the audience recording. I see. Yeah.
I mean, there would probably still be some of those that like.
It's just making me think of Seinfeld, where Jerry's fucking recording the movies for that guy.
Oh.
And he's like, he's Da Vinci of this. Like, everyone wants Jerry's movies because he's the best at bootlegging.
Good
times.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it, but whatever. Now all the bootlegs just come out of China. And they all have Chinese subtitles.
It's true.
And they're all edited for Chinese viewing. So there's no no mention of Tiananmen Square. No mention of Tiananmen Square. Gaming, do we have anything else gaming-wise that we really need to talk about? You haven't watched Game of Thrones yet this season. I know that.
No. Again, I want to try and start watching this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, make sure that when you watch episode 3 that you are watching it in a completely black room.
I have heard the biggest spoiler I've heard for the episode 3 is that it's dark as shit. That's what I heard.
So the funny thing is that me and my wife, we watch the show all the time and we're watching it. We're like, this is really dark, right? Should we turn up the TV, like the brightness on the TV? Like, no, maybe it's just us. Maybe we're just getting old. And then it's like, sure enough, everybody like was like, No, it's dark. It's dark. And then the cinematographer came out, the director was out there. He's like, no, it wasn't dark. You're just watching it wrong. And it was like, Q Skinner meme of, did I film this wrong? Did I film this too dark? No, it's every other viewer that's
it's
wrong.
It's everyone else who's wrong.
Like, yeah. It's like, they're like, the viewing experience, people are watching it wrong. Like, no, motherfucker, this is how you filmed it. But no, it's been all right. I mean, I like Game of Thrones, so I'm going to like it. I have a hard time being critical of Game of Thrones because I'm going to like it regardless of whether or not it's good or bad. So I'm feeling really conflicted because I know people like bitch and moan about how the season's been so far. But I'm like, but I like it. I like it. They got dragons. They got swords and you got Jorah Mormont and you got.
Well, the problem is it's the climax. So now there's no way, like, there's going to be a whole bunch of people who are dissatisfied because it's not going to go the way they want. That's all.
Well, that's always it. It's just like, I have a specific way I want it to go. Well, if that's the way you want it to go, then why do you even care to watch? You know, like, you have this whole narrative built out in your head. That's what it's not. It's about taking you on a ride, man. It's about sitting back, strapping in, lighting a doobie and just going along.
That was the worst thing I've ever heard.
What's the matter? You don't like the doobies?
Ah, a doobie. Let's Bogart that fat boy.
Exactly.
That iconic line delivered by John Lithgow in yet another popular sitcom, Third Rock from the Sun.
you like the Third Rock from the Sun?
I like Third Rock from the Sun.
Does not hold up.
No, I haven't.
Sadly.
I mean, I watched it a fuck ton when it was on TV, like when it was airing.
Yeah, I just watched it recently. It does not hold. John Lithgow's performance, solid. Everything else in that show, awful. Just like, oh man, I can't believe what we watched in the 1990s or early 2000s at that point. But yeah, that's.
I find most things don't hold up. That's I've been trying not to revisit things because I've come to the conclusion that like nostalgia is really, really fucked with people.
You
like,
want to know what holds up? The Office.
You know what? I'm sure the seasons of Office I liked still hold up because they were very funny.
I would say season 1 through 5 or 6 of The Office is top tier.
I remember watching a fuck ton of The Office, and then like at some point I was just like, this show stopped being funny. Like, what the hell happened? Like, it was like there's some hilarious fucking shit in that show. Like I said. I do like the parts that I liked, but I felt that the parts that I did not like, it's kind of like what would have happened to Seinfeld if they kept going. Like, they would have just started being shit. Because, like, nothing stays good indefinitely. Like there's
the Simpsons. The later seasons of Seinfeld were not that great either.
Right, but they were still a cut above, but you could tell it was not going in the direction of being of continuing to be great.
Yeah, it was it's not very good. Simpsons, I will say
Armin Tamzarian.
I like that episode. It's a good episode. It's unfairly maligned.
The episode itself is less of a problem than the fact that it did herald the beginning of the end.
It did. I will say
it's the Silver Surfer of the shittiness of the Simpsons Galactus.
The Simpsons solid season 3 through 9. Season 2, I'll give you about half the episodes are solid.
1 is bad.
It's not bad. It's right. Just not. It's not the Simpsons.
Yeah, it's not really funny. It didn't grow the beard.
I'll give you season 3 through 9 are completely 100%.
Speaking of growing the beard, did you watch season 2 of the Orville yet?
I have not watched season 2.
Come on.
I've only watched like a couple episodes.
It's so good.
I had to watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Ugh.
I know. It's really it. There's some really ontological and theological problems with that show.
Ooh.
Like I know they got sued by the Church of Satan.
Yeah, but the Church of Satan sues everyone.
Well, yeah, I mean that's because they're a joke. Like they're literally a parody. Like,
yeah. Well, no, not that one. This is the different one. There's like the Church of Satan and then there's Satanists.
Oh, well, because there's the Church of Satan, which is the one where they're like it's a joke. Like
the Church of Satan is the one who sues. Everybody.
And then there's the other. I guess there might be one where they're like they're really like they think they're evil or something.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you know that there's a devil, and you know there's hell, and you know there's heaven, why would you want to worship the devil and go to hell? Because hell's an awful place.
Right. Which is but that's the joke. Like the whole thing is like the Church of Satan, the one I'm talking about. The one.
I'm saying in the show.
Oh.
Like the show.
I don't know, maybe they think they'll get powers.
Well, I mean, they do. You will get powers if you worship Satan. You get magic powers, witch powers. But even though you get the witch powers, you still die eventually and then get tortured in hell.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, why would you make that choice?
Yeah, but only Catholics really believe in hell.
But I'm saying just in the show. I'm not saying in real life.
Yeah. Oh.
Because in real life, let's be fair. Donald Trump is our president, and he's never going to get his comeuppance.
We're on the threshold of hell! Holy shit, where's the Tylenol?
Yeah. We're not, there is no divine punishment for anybody. Like, the awful people in the world live long, happy lives.
They certainly do.
Yeah. So, you know, and you could want to believe in the fantasy world that these people are going to get punished in the afterlife. But no, it's not the afterlife that they need to be punished now.
It's true.
Yeah. Because there needs to be some sort of Job-ish reckoning for these people, but it never happens.
There is no justice.
But I'm saying in the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, as it is called, there is a literal devil. The devil shows up, and it's actually kind of cool. It's like it's told Beast Man. He comes in with the goat head and everything.
Does he have a huge cock?
No, unfortunately not.
The fuck? The devil's supposed to have a huge cock because he's supposed to fuck women constantly.
fuck women. He doesn't just fuck women. He's equal opportunity.
No, because he's trying to make the Antichrist, so he seduces women all the time because women are unclean and only men are clean and free from sin.
But that's just...
Women are sinful, Joe.
Everyone knows that.
Jesus.
This is why they always say, like, these two white middle class guys hate everything.
I mean, I wonder how many people think that we're just, like, 100% genuine and serious, though.
I don't know.
Like, that's the other thing, too. I think hyperbole and sarcasm have been lost upon the rocks of the internet.
I blame 9/11.
George, that's an interesting that's an interesting take.
9/11 killed sarcasm.
You think so?
Yeah.
I like that Gilbert Gottfried immediately told the joke like a fucking day after, but he told the 9/11 joke immediately. I thought that was pretty good.
I'm just glad Gilbert Gottfried finally got his comeuppance.
Did he?
I don't know.
I mean, can you have?
I'm just gonna tell jokes like this.
Can you have more comeuppance than being Gilbert Gottfried?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, like it's kind of a full package.
Oh yeah, but what I'm saying is that there's a devil in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Why would you go with the hell when you could have heaven? I mean, granted, heaven might not be great. We haven't seen Jesus or God or anything else like that inside the show. But
have you confirmed that the devil power people do get tortured though?
Yeah, I'm not 100% positive, but it's pretty much the devil outright says it. Like, you're gonna go to hell, you're gonna get punished.
But what if it's only for failure?
No. It's like, you know.
Okay, then that's just dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just stupid.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not like I agree with the choice. Like, I have to decide between this or this. Like, I have to be, like, super pious or I have to be, like evil.
It's dumb. I hate it.
Yeah, it's like.
I already, like, you said Sabrina and I was already not on board. I was already,
you
never, like.
You didn't like the old Sabrina TV show?
I liked Melissa Joan Hart a lot.
Melissa Joan Hart. I was a bigger fan of Caroline Ray's ample bosom.
I liked her too. There were a lot of things I liked about the original Sabrina show, and none of them had anything to do with any of the storylines or characters.
You like Salem the cat?
Well, yeah. I mean, Salem was the hottest thing on the show, but like, I mean, I liked all the eye candy. Salem's just another piece of eye candy in that show.
Just further proof that once they actually create real life anime cat girls, just civilization will be on over.
They could. They have the science, but they're just being held back by fucking Trump.
By chuds.
By MAGA chuds. I saw MAGA chud at Aldi. I saw one in the wild. He looked exactly as you would expect him to.
He
looked like a shitty boomer ass Kurt Russell with a big ass white mustache and his fucking MAGA hat, and I was just like, "You are garbage!" Like, and I was staring at him, and he knew I was staring at him, but I wasn't gonna say anything because I'm just gonna stare at him because it's just like, you wear a MAGA hat, you know you're a piece of shit. Like, you're a proud piece of shit. Like, putting on a MAGA hat is just like, not only am I human scum, but I'm so excited about being human scum, I'm going to wear a hat to broadcast that I'm human scum.
Now, I think most people who wear hats with their ideology on them are pretty much human scum.
I mean,
unless it says, like, no fat chicks.
ass gas or grass, everyone pays if you want to ride or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
a hat with a clock on it that says it's beer o'clock.
That's also fine. But I have a hat that says I'm excellent. That's all that there should be.
Yeah.
You fucking MAGA hat. I was
but when
like,
you wear your ideology.
Fucking chud.
Unless your ideology is it's beer o'clock.
Right.
Like, if that's your ideology, I'm okay with that.
We're at levels here.
We're at levels. There's varying levels. Actually, it's funny that you bring that today because a dude in New York just got smashed with an egg again. He was walking around New York. First of all,
the dude dressed like a Nazi. He got crushed by a bunch of eggs. Yeah. But he was dressed like a straight up Nazi. And there was that right wing British chud who got McShaked.
He got McShaked. Yeah.
I think McShaking right wingers should be a thing now.
Well, my favorite is that what happens is they get the shake put on them, and then the photo gets posted on the internet with the Brazers logo on it.
Yes, they need to get McShaked.
Need to get McShaked. All right. Where are we at? Oh, we're just about done. All right, so
fantastic.
So the only other thing I was thinking about was I mentioned Endgame, which I won't get my review.
I'm sure it's just like in my. Well, do you want to hear my review of Infinity? Listen to my review of Infinity War, and then tell me how I'm going to feel about Endgame without spoiling it. Yeah. All right, this is my review of Infinity War. There were a lot of characters in that movie. End. That was my review of Infinity War.
Oh.
How do you think I'm going to feel about Endgame?
For the first two-thirds of the movie, it's not that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Then Act 3 happens, and you're like, what the fuck's going on?
There's a lot of characters in that movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters in this third act.
That was when I left Infinity War, I was just like, there were a lot of characters in that movie.
I'm going to go see it for a second time on Saturday. So I've officially wasted 6 hours of my life watching Infinity War Endgame. Avengers Endgame.
I did see Shazam, which I very much liked.
Yeah.
I liked Shazam a lot. Yeah. And not even just as a Captain Marvel fanboy. I actually just really liked that movie. I was like, this movie's really good. Yeah. I was so excited when I left the theater because I was like, holy shit, it was actually good. Like, it was just a good movie.
You know my favorite part about Captain Marvel and Shazam was?
What?
Was that at the very end when all of his brothers and sisters get the power, spoilers for anybody who doesn't want to watch
it. If you don't know, I guess if you know literally nothing about Captain Marvel / Shazam, that would be a spoiler.
But he gets like all of his adopted brothers and sisters get the power. And I like how they're all specifically multi-ethnic, multi-aged, and like gender delineated amongst the lines. It's like all they were missing was a Native American kid with a full fucking headdress, or like an Eskimo kid with like the parka on.
That is, but that, to be fair, that is accurate to their comic book counterparts in the current universe, not in the original universe. In the Marvel fam, the Marvel family was very fucking 50s white bread.
Yeah,
but
well, I mean, you only had Captain Marvel Jr. and Mary Marvel.
There was also the dog.
Well, I mean, there was no dog.
There was a. I'm pretty sure
there was Talkie Tawny.
Talkie Tawny, the tiger, right? Yeah. Who was not in the film at all? Although, no, well, sort of. There was a nod.
Yeah, there was a nod to it. And there was Uncle Dudley, who was also. Yeah, I think he was mentioned in the movie.
The current incarnation of Shazam, that is straight up it. They're a multi-ethnic group of kids who are foster kids. That is straight up the current.
Yeah, I haven't read anything by any Shazam stuff in a long time.
But it was good. I very much enjoyed it, and yeah. I loved Mr. Mind. I was so excited. Like I lost my shit when they just showed him in the. I was like. This is Mr. Mind! Like, I was like, yeah!
And then they show him at the end.
Yes! And he's talking and he's got the little radio. I'm like, yo! I fucking love Mr. Mind! Yeah, I was also excited about that.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I saw Hellboy.
Oh, yeah, what do you think of it?
It was not good.
I heard it was not good.
So
I'm waiting for that one to come out on video.
I feel that would, like, if that was a Netflix movie, I would have been like, all right. Like that's the best thing I can say about it. It's just like they tried to cram 4 graphic novels worth of content into a movie that was an average length film. Bad fucking idea. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It just no. Like they should have just given Guillermo del Toro the extra $20 million. In case anyone's wondering, the whole story is Guillermo del Toro and Ron Perlman got an approved budget of $70 million for Hellboy 3. The studio was like, nah, we're going to cut it to $50 million. And Del Toro and Perlman were like, we need 70 to do the movie or it's not going to happen. And like, okay, well, we're just going to make a Hellboy movie for $50 million. So basically what you have is you have the scrap version of Hellboy. This is the leftover Hellboy that they made for $50 million instead of making Del Toro and Perlman's third movie for $70 million.
Yeah, I actually, I just rewatched the first two Hellboys. They're fine, but I gotta say, they're not very good Hellboy movies.
I think they're great movies.
They're not very good Hellboy movies, though.
No, but they're great movies.
Yeah.
And they got people into Hellboy. This one's a lot more true to the comic, and I think, again, I think this movie has some excellent scenes. There's some great shit in it, but... the problem of the movie is when you look at it as a whole, it doesn't come together. It's like you took a bunch of interesting things about Hellboy, and then, like...
You didn't get the soul of Hellboy.
Right. It's like there's a bunch of great scenes, but like it's like you made a sandwich and it's got all the things you expected in a sandwich. But when you're biting, something's off. It's because the sandwich has no pickles and no mayo and no mustard.
The turkey's a little dry.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the problem. It's just like there's a lot of oomph missing because like they introduce a character and you're like, who the fuck is this character? And then they're like, oh, and this character's betrayal. Like there's a big betrayal with this character. And it's like, you just introduced this character. What the fuck do I care?
I really think what would be cool is if I don't know. You probably haven't seen it yet. And what I think you should, and I'll give you the link for it. Is that Doom Patrol. I talked about it, I think, on the last cast.
Oh, I heard great. Like, everyone is talking about, like, I've heard nothing but positive things about Doom Patrol.
It's the most amazing thing I've ever watched. It's, like, so true to the comic that you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I've heard it's fucking
phenomenal.
And I
know it's not DC Online.
It was Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, well, I know DC doesn't own Hellboy, but if Netflix or something could do a Hellboy show to the level of Doom Patrol, it doesn't have to be Hellboy. Just BPRD.
Yeah.
Just do the BPRD.
Well, that's what Cole was saying. He's like, doing just BPRD would have been cooler. Because, like, that's, I don't know. It would take too much to get into it, but I agree with you. Everything you're about to say, I agree.
Yeah.
They should just make a show called the BPRD because the comics have separated from Hellboy as well.
Yeah, they just finished, like, after, like, a 100-some-issue run, and it's amazing comic.
Yeah, and it's mostly about the BPRD, and there were some great scenes in the movie with Lobster Johnson and stuff.
Ooh, Lobster Johnson,
he's fantastic. And that's what I'm saying.
Who played Lobster Johnson?
The sad guy who played Sandman in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's Sandman. Like he's not Sandman. He's Sadman. Because every scene in that movie, he just looks sad.
I love that Mike Mignola made a guy named Lobster Johnson. Who fought crime and burned...
No, he fought Nazis.
Well, he fought crime, too. He was a crime
monster. And he has the lobster claw.
He has the lobster
claw. Which he burns on their forehead.
He turned it into a legit, serious thing. It wasn't like... Like, it wasn't taking like to take the piss out of something. It was a legit series. Like the claw, you put
the claw,
the claw at the guy's head. It's like, what the fuck?
It's awesome, and he's a great part of the. That's what I'm saying. He's his scenes in the movie are fantastic.
Does anybody in the movie say, "Look out, that monkey's got a gun"?
They don't do the monkey scene. That's the thing. Like they like the thing about the movie that really pissed me off was that like it was so much like you guys just they made right turns when they should have made left turns.
Well, I mean. One of my problems with the Hellboy, with the Del Toro...
Hellboy was great, though. The dude who played Hellboy?
Yeah.
He was fantastic. He was great. Thankfully, he is the best part of the movie. Yeah. Like, he himself is fantastic. He did a great job.
The my biggest problem with the Del Toro Hellboys, and Perlman Hellboys, is that they make them action movies. Hellboy's not an action series.
No, it's like a noir mystery thing.
It's
with like Lovecraftian
it's
shit.
Yeah, it's very mystery oriented.
But I thought it worked so well for Del Toro. Like I thought, like that's the thing. Like Del Toro's version of Hellboy, like with Cronin and stuff, like fighting Hellboy. Like it worked very well for what it was. And if they had just finished that, like I think that's what it need. Like they just needed that capstone. And then they could have gone into this Hellboy. Like the problem with this one is like, if they would have finished Del Toro's version, I think they could have done another Hellboy, just like they did now, but taking it a bit slower because this one is just too much shit.
Well, that's the thing is like they put $50 million in the budget. If they had made a $25 million budget Hellboy, where most of the effect was the money going to like props and stuff like
yes,
that,
yes, and made costuming,
made it a slow burn kind
absolutely.
Of like. Just like the original, whatever the first one's called, I can't
think. The Conqueror Worm.
Conqueror Worm. They could do something like that, make it really slow, horror-oriented. It would have been fucking amazing. Give me $25 million. I'll make that movie.
The Rasputin scene was awesome. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a bunch of parts in this movie that are great, like legit awesome scenes. I'm just like, wow, it's awesome. But like, the glue isn't there.
Is Kolshi the Deathless in it?
No.
Oh. I've been rereading the old Hellboys, and when he gets like Baba Yaga and all that stuff,
Baba Yaga's in it, and that's the thing that sucks is like they allude to all this
lot of shit in this movie,
right? Exactly, there's too much shit. Like they allude to all this stuff that happens between Hellboy and Baba Yaga, but like. I wanted to see, like, we should, like, as the viewer, we should have seen that. Where they, like, they're like, and yes, Hellboy, the last time we were there, you took my eye and did all this shit. And it's just like, that should have been a movie we saw. Like, you're referencing a movie we didn't see.
I work with an Eastern European woman. I won't give away her ethnicity.
The Baba Yaga?
No.
Do you work with the Baba Yaga?
No. And she was talking about the movie La Llorona, which has come out, which is part of the...
I heard it's garbage.
Yeah. But she was like, La Llorona is it's just the Mexican Baba Yaga. I was like, that's funny.
That's pretty funny. That is pretty funny. Although I for as bad as I've heard that movie is, I doubt it could be as bad as The Nun.
Oh, The Nun was terrible.
The Nun might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
It made no sense.
And nothing fucking happened.
No.
It was like how can you have a movie that like, first of all, it was rated R. I don't know how it was rated R. There were no F-bombs and it was not violent. I don't know how that movie was rated R.
There was some nudity, wasn't there?
No.
There was no nudity?
No. There was like barely even
implied
nudity. I was
really drunk when I watched it.
So I was I unfortunately was stone cold sober. Yeah. And let me tell you, there was nothing in that movie that I could think of that really would make it rated R. I was confused by that. And the other's like, nothing happens. That movie, like, the last 10 minutes of that movie, there is a little bit of, like, action. But, leading up to that, it's just people talking and, like, steady shots. Yeah. Like,
did you see Annabelle 2, The Creation?
No, I heard it was bad.
A lot of people liked it. I did not.
I heard it was better than the first one.
The first one, I think, had scarier shots. I think the first one legit had a scarier sequence. The first one was, like, a great scary sequence surrounded by shit on both sides. But Annabelle 2 Creation, I think, was just kind of boring. A lot of people liked it, though.
You know what was fucking boring as shit? The Fantastic Beasts, The Rimes of Grindelwald.
Oh, my God, that movie. I fell asleep like 3 times.
That movie was the most boring movie I've ever seen.
They need to get someone other than David Yates to direct those movies.
And, holy fuck, so did he direct the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see the first one.
Oh,
but
well.
But in this one...
You're completely lost.
No, I wasn't lost. It's really fucking simple. Johnny Depp's the bad guy, monster guy, good guy. There you go. You're caught up.
The autistic monster guy.
Whatever.
Is a good guy.
That dude is obsessed with doing shots that are close-ups of people's faces and then like cutting to other close-ups of other people's faces. It is so jarring. Like there's an early scene in that movie. Like if you own that film, There's an early scene in that movie where they're in a hallway. Count how many cuts to someone's face taking up almost the entire screen there is. It was making me like ill. Like I was actually like, jeez, fucking stop cutting to people's faces. Like, God damn it. It was actually like great cinematography is the best cinematography is shit that you don't notice. But when it's bad, holy fuck. Like, if you start noticing the cinematography, you're either noticing it because it's really shitty, and you're more likely to notice if it's really shitty.
I want to create a Harry Potter movie that's basically a rehash of Harry Potter, just the first Harry Potter movie, but it's J.K. Rowling's, like, consistently changing the movie as it's progressing.
Just shit's changing. And yeah. Like, it's actually just her writing it, and it's like, and then there was a griffin, and it's like, you just hear like a sound of an erasing, like dragon. And then the griffin turns into a dragon.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like you have the character going all the way through, and then you find out like halfway through, it's like, and then this character was Asian, and then the person just turns into an Asian.
Nice. Yeah. And then he ate his ass.
Yeah.
He's like, what?
What? And then, and then it'll be like, and then Dumbledore and Snape were in a gay relationship.
No,
and then
it's like, Dumbledore and Grisselbrand were fucking each other.
Grisselbrand.
They were eating ass, each other's ass.
Yeah. All right. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all that's gone. Go to our Facebook page, Game Classy Podcast on Facebook. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. Tell us about Mork Bork.
Nanu.
So Scanders from Sweden.
Yes.
Okay. So they were neutral in World War II.
I mean, they laundered money for the Nazis.
They laundered money for the Nazis, of course. Because Norway was taken over by the Nazis, Sweden was neutral, and Finland joined up with the Nazis to fight the Soviets. So that's just the easy way to remember it.
Yes.
Yeah. Occupied, collaborators, and neutral. Yeah. Well, let's just face it. Sweden, neutral. But they were kind of a little bit, they were just waiting to see who won.
Yeah. I mean, as most neutral people are.
Yeah. Damn Swiss.
Just making money.
Fuck the Swiss.
Gold. Gold bullion.
Yeah.
All they care about is their gold bullion and pocket watches.
Yeah. And cuckoo clocks. That was the Swiss.
Is that Swiss?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought cuckoo clocks were German, actually.
Is that the line from The Third Man, right?
I don't know.
Let me see. Third Man quote. There's a... I'm sorry. I'll cut this, but I want to get this quote because it's one of my favorite quotes of all time. Oh, here we go. I have to do this as Orson Welles a little bit.
All right. I'm ready.
Green penis. No.
That's terrible.
Marshmallow peeps. Yes, it's a little bit like this. No, it's getting to Vincent Price. Damn it. All right, I'll just read it. In Italy for 30 years under the Borgias, they had warfare, terror, murder, bloodshed. They produced Michelangelo, Da Vinci, and the Renaissance. In Switzerland, they had brotherly love, 500 years of democracy and peace. And what did they produce? The cuckoo clock.
That's pretty funny.
If you've ever seen The Third Man, it's one of my favorite movies. The best way you can help with the podcast is comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You can also like, comment, subscribe on our YouTube channel.
Give us a 5-star review and then shit talk us the whole time.
Yeah, you could do that as long as we get the 5-star review. That's all I truly care about. Those 5 stars. As long as I do like the 1-star, but you have to be a genuine 1-star review. It has to be a guy who goes like, I just don't understand why they don't like anything, or I don't get it why they don't talk about the things that they say they're going to talk about. Like that. It's an honest review.
It's good.
You could also listen to our sister podcast. You have...
I still think it'd be funny to like straight up... Because like a lot of times our episode titles and topics are like, we at least touch base on it. But I think it'd be better to just start doing completely... Like the one you did, like because we talked about that game where we said an in-depth review of whatever.
Yeah.
And like, but we still, the one dude got really mad. It was like, they barely talk about the game. I think it would be better to do like something that we legit say nothing about. So like an in-depth review of Pathfinder 2nd Edition. Like that's what this episode's called.
Okay. That's what's going to be called.
An in-depth review of Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
Did they release that yet?
No, it's that. Well, there's the playtest version is out.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I didn't know that there was a major release yet.
There's the playtest version and then the official second edition isn't out yet.
I was gonna say, like, I'm really out of my game if I don't recognize that Pathfinder V2 got
started. Yeah, it's good.
I was talking to my brother the other day, and we were talking about just our tastes in RPGs, and I was just like, yeah, I like the more storytelling elements of like Dungeons, like having like a good story, having your DM run you through it, and you get invested in it, and you just like power gaming Pathfinder. I'm like, god damn it. Like, I like having 800 feet so that I can just destroy everything. I'm like, fucking fuck.
I said modern game. Dungeons and Dragons 3rd edition irrevocably damaged the role-playing genre forever.
Damn Watsy.
Feats, man. Feats did it. It was really feats. That's the biggest thing. It was like, well, I mean, I could dish about RPGs forever. Nobody wants to hear that. People want to hear my hot takes about fucking shitty sitcoms.
hot takes about, I kind of like The Office.
I like the first half of The Office.
As most of America loves The Office.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of America loves The Big Bang Theory, so you can't trust most of America.
That's true. The Office is like the most watched thing of all time, though.
Is it really?
Yeah. On like Netflix and shit.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit. I had no idea it was so popular.
I love Parks and Rec. I think Parks and Rec is genuinely superior to The Office.
I had no idea The Office was so popular. Like, I mean, I knew people liked The Office, but I didn't realize it was like phenomenon level popular.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Parks and Rec, but I heard someone, I read a very scathing review of the end of Parks and Recreation, and having not seen any episodes of Parks and Recreation, I can agree with their assessment completely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a very Steve thing to do.
I can agree with their assessment. Well, because I listened to their argument, like, they gave me, like, in their thesis, as it were, like, they gave a very, and because it wasn't specifically an indictment about Parks and Recreation, it was the end, it was, what did they call it, there was like the end game, everything works out great for everyone fantasy ending.
Oh,
and they,
yeah,
and they talked about how shitty that is and why it's such a bad writing thing. And I was just like, that's really interesting. And like, I completely agreed with like their, like, they, like they say, like, it invalid, like, it was like, it's like when Roseanne wins the lottery, it's like,
oh,
it's like giving people, like, invalidating everyone's struggle and just giving them like the here's the cake, like, you've won.
I get what you're saying. However, if you actually watch Parks and Rec, the person is wrong. The person is dead wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like it seemed like I was like, oh, I agree with that assessment. Like,
yeah.
I don't like the final, like everything works out like randomly kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's a half hour sitcom that's designed to take you out.
Dude,
of your...
motherfuckers take that shit seriously as fuck.
It's designed to take you out of the reality.
I've
of
seen
the
death...
drudges of reality.
I've seen death threats over Friends. Okay.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's a half hour sitcom designed to take you out of the drudgery of your daily life. You know what? If everybody ends up happy and you smile at the end of it, more power to you. Sit back, relax, put your seatbelt on, light up a doobie.
They don't deserve to be happy.
Light your doobie up, take a big toke, and enjoy the show.
Yeah. Well, because I think a good example of that, I think there were, I'm not doing this thing service by saying it, but I think like they had a quick example that hopefully would congeal their point a little bit more. It was like, they were like Roseanne, where she just randomly won the lottery. And they're like, if they had made that a long gestating plot point where like Roseanne played the lottery and it was like a specific like ritualistic part of her character, and then they like were like, and in the last season she wins the lottery, they were like, they said it still would be a little cheap, but because it would have been an intrinsic part of the character since the beginning, you would be like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's what their complaint was. I don't remember what they're fucking they were talking about, like with specifically Parks and Rec, but like they were like, that was like their complaint of that storytelling style.
No, I get it. The person has a miserable life and they want everyone else to be just as miserable, and they want their entertainment to reflect their miserableness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
It's fair.
Also, Roseanne, right wing piece of shit.
That's true. It's not even Roseanne anymore. It's the Connors.
Yeah, I know. Because Roseanne, piece of shit.
She got kicked off. Her and fucking.
What do you mean I can't make a reference to a black person being a monkey?
Her and Bill Maher can die in a freak 69 accident hurtling towards Saturn.
Bill Maher's such a douche.
I hate Bill Maher. Oh, Bill Maher sucks ass so hard. He's, you know what, like I talk about how the right wing is a grift so much, like Bill Maher is like the left wing version of a right wing grifter. He's a left wing grifter.
Yeah, pretty
They're
much.
Fewer and far between, but if you want an example of when I say what a right wing grifter is, if you want to see a left wing grifter, look at Bill Maher.
Well, that's the reason why he's on HBO and he only appears on your house every like fortnight. You can really give a
fortnight
give a shit about him. All right,
fork knife.
Watch our other and listen to our other podcast, which is Play on play on Daibakemono, whatever the Japanese.
You just said play on Big Monster.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what
Shin
the,
play on podcast Neo.
There you go.
Shin, not that hard to remember. Come on.
Shin play on podcast.
Actually,
Neo.
It's Shin play on pod Neo.
Shin play on pod Neo.
Yeah,
that's right. They say it correctly.
Shin pure on the pod Neo.
Shin play on the pod Neo.
Pure. You didn't pure. Say there's no pla. It's pure.
Like pure.
Yes.
Like you praying
yes.
something.
Yes. Pure.
Shin pure.
Yeah, but you'd say it fast. You pre.
Shin pre.
Because that's okay. How that's how people they go pre. It's like, oh, okay. Because, like, you cheat the L by saying, put it really fast.
It's like, come on, buddy, we go play. We yes. go play some video games, man.
Yeah, we go play.
That's my Eastern, that's my Slavic accent.
Yeah. Man. But yeah, I've learned a lot about how English works while trying to learn Japanese. Mm-hmm. And like, the cheats and interesting ways that, because Japan has less pronunciations than we do, which is why... Shockingly enough, it's easier to learn Japanese going from English to Japanese than vice versa. And I'd say the hardest thing is definitely learning their borrowed words, because that's like, it's like a sub language. Because like I said, like the word play, pure, like you have to learn that. Like there's like this weird hidden sub language. So it's interesting to see their shortcuts when they use English.
There you go. So Steve, until next time.
I hope everyone is really satisfied with our episode after that break.
Game Classy.